and welcome to The Advantage Investor, a Raymond James Limited podcast, a podcast that provides perspective for Canadian investors who want to remain knowledgeable, informed, and focused on long-term success. We are recording this on March 11th, 2022. I'm Chris Cooksey from the Raymond James Corporate Communications and Marketing Department, and today we're speaking with friend of the podcast, AJ Virk, head currency traders with our fixed income group, to discuss the loonie, the U.S. dollar, and how geopolitical events can affect currencies. Welcome back to the Advantage Investor, AJ. I hope you're doing well, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join the podcast today.
Always a pleasure to join you, Cooksey. You know that.
I love it when you lie to me, my friend. All right, let's just start off with a basic, complicated question, if we can. Obviously, since the last time you joined us a few months ago, things have changed significantly. So maybe just a brief comment on how geopolitical events can affect currencies, if that's even possible, because I know this can go in a thousand different ways, etc. Yep. So maybe a quick comment around that before we get into the meat of this.
No, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Just like you said, geopolitical events, broadly speaking, definitely there's a lot to unpack there. Usually the case would be, you know, whenever you have sort of heightened tensions like we have now, all eyes normally turn to safe haven assets. So you think people pulling money out of risky assets, trying to, you know, direct them into more, you know, to more safety, you know, for sure. So the U.S. dollar, that always comes to everybody's mind. So U.S. dollar, still, you know, the premier safe haven asset. So you will usually see the U.S. dollar, you know, catch some strength for sure.
And that makes sense, AJ, with the U.S. dollar. It's been seen as a safety place for a long time. And obviously this one's a little different when you have, you know, huge assets being sold, Chelsea Football Club in England right now.
So a big one.
You know, one of the biggest football teams in the world. These are being forced sales or people are making the decisions before the sanctions come in or whatnot. So how has the FX market been digesting all these developments?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I guess the big thing is, you know, I mean, what this invasion has really done, it's definitely triggered major shifts in global markets, right? So, and as is the case in any negative geopolitical event, there's always going to be a demand for the U.S. dollar, given its safe haven appeal. So on that note, I mean, we're going to expect to see the dollar to remain on a firmer footing for as long as this war continues. And meanwhile, I mean, you know, just like you were sort of pointing out to earlier, I mean, Russia is going to continue to grapple with these, you know, crippling economic sanctions. I mean, you know, which are, you know, which were primarily aimed at their financial institutions, its central bank, and now most recently its oil and gas sector. So that has definitely led to a real supply shock in the global commodity space. And I mean, we've all seen these rapid moves higher in everything like oil, nickel, wheat. And I mean, just look at gas prices, right? Like just the thought of filling up, it makes my stomach hurt. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I totally understand that. Yes.
Exactly. So what we've really seen is that, you know, this crisis has sort of developed into more of an inflationary type of shock. And what that means is commodity prices will remain elevated for now, which will naturally feed into higher input costs for producers and naturally pose upside risk to inflation. I mean, just as you know, which was already running hot to begin with. Yep. So naturally all eyes will then, you know, turn to central banks, and they'll begin or continue to tighten monetary policy. But I think it's also important to note Russia's prominence in the global commodity space. I mean, they're one of the largest oil producing and exporting countries in the world. So, and seeing that
heat Europe, right?
They
heat Europe.
They do. Exactly. So, which is why, I mean, President Biden's move to, you know, ban Russian imports of their energy products was a very big blow to the Russian economy. But I mean, and seeing that the global oil supply, I mean, it's still largely tight, you know, as COVID restrictions slowly get lifted and demand continues to gradually recover. The broader oil market, I mean, it's naturally very susceptible to these kind of large scale supply disruptions. And Russia, you know, Russia's been quite integrated into the global trade apparatus for quite some time. You know, so these sanctions imposed by the West, I mean, they're naturally going to continue to hurt the Russian economy as they look for ways to sort of replace that lost demand of Russian energy products. I mean, just looking at the Russian ruble, for example, it's completely collapsed, right? So one ruble right now, it's worth, you know, it's worth less than one U.S. penny. And it's slid, you know, over 30% since the invasion began and, you know, the sanctions that quickly followed. So in essence, I mean, higher energy costs, they're going to feed into inflationary pressures, especially for import heavy regions like Asia, for example. The loonie, on the other hand, I think the loonie should receive a pretty decent tailwind from elevated oil prices in the short run. I mean, despite the somewhat cloudy long-term outlook, but particularly on CAD crosses, for example, okay, against the British pound and the euro, for example, right? Dollar CAD, however, you know, that's been reacting a bit more to the broader risk mood than the commodities, to be honest, which is why we've not seen, like, you know, a big move lower in the pair. It's essentially the US dollar in the driver's seat right now. And, you know, and speaking about geopolitical tensions, I mean, that's obviously going to be posing a negative growth shock to Europe as a whole. So we're going to remain somewhat cautious of European currencies for the time being. But another currency we're actually, you know, we have pretty good eyes on is the Australian dollar, which is, you know, which we're watching pretty closely. And, I think, if, you know, inflation expectations, for example, in Australia, you know, they reached their highest level since 2012. So what we've seen is the market begin to price in aggressive rate hikes for the Reserve Bank of Australia, which has actually been turning a bit more hawkish after being one of the most probably dovish central banks just a few months back. So, and on the other side of the equation there is that, you know, the market is still aggressively short the Aussie dollar. So right, with all these things in place, I think we have a pretty decent setup for a nice run up in the Aussie dollar as these positions begin to clear up and things like that. So I think these are just some of the most interesting things we've been watching as of late.
Right.
I mean, just as you know, the situation in Ukraine, it's still fluid. And unfortunately, I don't see any clear signs of this ending anytime soon. So
yeah.
So just your normal stuff, headline risk, broader risk sentiment, these are going to be your primary drivers for now, especially as far as FX is concerned.
And obviously the most important thing is the humanitarian size of this invasion. And we certainly 100%. Are thinking about those, the people who are so negatively affected by this, for sure. Now, when we can bring it back to the loonie, a lot of people call us a petrocurrency, obviously. You know that. I'm not teaching you anything. But with, as you mentioned earlier, the price of oil and the increase there due to this conflict, is the loonie acting as you would expect in this case and increasing along with it? Or is there a certain level of, you know, the U.S. dollar is considered one of the safest in the world. So regardless of how attractive the loonie might work or look, flows will go to the US dollar. And then just on the back end of that, Bank of Canada started increasing rates ever so slightly recently. And how does that all play into the loonie's direction?
No, I mean, you pretty much nailed it. So, I mean, it is true that the US dollar is, you know, it's still more or less, it's trading on a firmer footing across the board, especially against developed market currencies, just given that reserve status and safe haven appeal. So, especially in like, you know, in this environment we're in now, it's a US dollar story, right? So now traditionally we would see the USD weaken when commodities sort of catch a bid like they have. But I mean, unfortunately this is, it's considered like a wartime type of environment. So
yeah,
the greenback safe haven appeal, that's going to trump, you know, your traditional market correlations one would, you know, come to expect. You know, and secondly, I mean, despite, the barrel trading north of $100, US Canadian yield spreads, they've actually dramatically narrowed, on the front end of the yield curve as of late. So what that means is that US rates on the short end have been moving up closer to Canadian short end rates, essentially closing that yield advantage gap Canada has, you know, traditionally enjoyed, which, you know, keeps the CAD on, you know, I guess implies some more strength in the loonie, right? So this definitely introduced, you know, some frictions and sort of limiting how much CAD can truly appreciate alongside a rising tide of commodity prices. And just like you mentioned earlier, you know, we can't forget about the Fed and the BOC, right? So both are expected to hike rates multiple times this year after the BOC are already kicking it off. But in the short term, everything's going to depend on the situation surrounding Ukraine. I mean, that's just going to be the end of it. And the economic fallout from, you know, from these Russian sanctions imposed by the West. So they can have, you know, very wide ramifications, you know. So I think right now, if you're expecting like a move, like a material move lower in USD CAD, I think that's going to be limited for now. But on that end, I would not rule out dollar CAD heading lower in the second half of the year, for example. So as things stand right now, we are eyeing dollar CAD to move up into the low 130s, you know, should this situation continue to escalate. And just like you're saying, that's all going to be a US dollar story. It's going to, you know, it's going to remain, it's going to, you know, sustain its strength for sure. So that's sort of what we're looking at.
So really at the end of the day, put your seatbelt on, who knows what's going to happen, protect 100%. Yourself. You know, obviously things have changed dramatically. So be very cautious out there. And AJ, I don't have to tell you this because you do this every single day, but currencies are that one asset class or one of the asset classes that's always very difficult to predict. So just be careful out there. Is that a fair statement?
No, you nailed it. It's definitely difficult. It's currency markets can be a lot to digest just because everything is relative, right? Yeah. So it's one currency against another. There's a lot of factors and it's the underbelly of everything. It ties everything together. So
more than one input, my math friends would say.
More than one input, if you want to get technical. Yes, sir. You got
it. That's all I could add in terms of math, by the way. Anyway, AJ, I want to thank you for taking the time today, sharing your thoughts and expertise with the Advantage Investor listeners. And I hope you'll come back again when you have more exciting information to share.
I love it. Send an invite and I'll be here.
All right, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
The Advantage Investor is now on Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. So please subscribe and rate the podcast. Please contact your advisor with any questions you have. On behalf of Raymond James and The Advantage Investor, thank you for taking the time to listen today. Until next time, stay well. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Statistics and factual data and other information are from sources Raymond James Limited believes to be reliable, but their accuracy cannot be guaranteed. Information is furnished on the basis and understanding that Raymond James Limited is to be under no liability whatsoever in respect thereof. It is provided as a general source of information and should not be construed as an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any product and should not be considered tax advice. Raymond James advisors are not tax advisors, and we recommend that clients seek independent advice from a professional advisor on tax-related matters. Securities-related products and services are offered through Raymond James Limited, member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Insurance products and services are offered through Raymond James Financial Planning Limited, which is not a member of Canadian Investor Protection Fund.